So we get a little break on the price there.
For our viewers, can you name them as you go down the list?
I guess so.
we have the El I see what you did there.
They're very ethnic names, should we say?
I can't pronounce half.
You are tuning in to the Cigar Guys podcast, where aficionados and newcomers alike gather to explore the vast cigar universe. Meet your hosts, Alexander Gonzalez, Mark Nikolai, his big little brother Zachary Nikolai, and Jared Burrows. So sit back, light up, and let's get the conversation started.
And scene.
Exactly. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the Cigar Guys. Welcome back, everyone. How was PCA? You guys had a good time?
Fantastic time. This is episode 64, if I'm not mistaken. We are back in action.
69 is going to be huge.
Stay tuned. Only four more episodes. Oh, man. But we are going to share some highlights from PCA, new cigars, brand updates, and stuff like that. We're going to go through each brand, what was, you know, the biggest thing they released. And then we're going to talk about it. Obviously not going to go through everything because there's quite a lot, but we're going to go through about 10 to 12 brands that kind of stuck out to us and then go from there.
Yeah, it was perfect. PCA was perfect.
Would you say it was perfecto?
I would say that, actually. Hmm. Oh, and speaking of that, what, did he have something to say?
Yeah, I was actually just about to say something. Were you about to say something?
Well, I was about a perfecto.
All right. We'll say one brand. All right. 3, 2, 1.
Padron.
Wow.
That's crazy. Are you sure we're not twins?
That's crazy. Before we get into your comment, that was very fantastic, by the way. I love that. What's everyone smoking right now?
I am smoking the 1102 House Blend Maduro. I don't know.
Correct.
Yeah.
It is a Maduro.
He was like looking at me. I don't know. I'm smoking the 1102 House Blend Maduro. It's fantastic. Make sure to check it out
at
1102cigars.com.
1102cigars.com. Jared?
Personally, I like using basiscigars.com. It's a little easier to type for me.
Well, without the S, Basis Cigar.
Actually, we have both of them.
Oh, basiscigars.com.
You should know that. Zach is, at this point, a contributor.
I am smoking the 1102 Basis Cigar. And that's okay. It.
Yeah. Ditto.
Nice.
I'm smoking. Alex, are you?
What?
Is that a Cohiba?
Is that fake? That's a fake Cohiba.
It's not.
That's a fake Cohiba. Look at the wrapper.
Look at that.
Look, count the dots. It's like a carbon copy of a Cohiba.
Really?
Yeah. It literally, look. Yeah, look.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
You're covering my face in the camera.
I'm glad it doesn't focus because.
I'm actually glad that it doesn't. We got to figure that out, autofocus or something. But anyway, I'm smoking a authentic Cohiba. It's actually not. You could probably tell from here. It's actually a legit brand called Carbon Copy. They make copies of different brands. Cohiba is probably the most popular. They have like Padron copies. Quick story about this. I posted this in all the cigar Facebook groups. You know how they get. I said, you know, smoking a Cohiba. Do you guys think this is real? Like, let me know, something like that. And 30% of the comments got the joke. It says Carbon Copy, Republica Dominica. So they were going along with it. 30% of the comments were genuinely like, no, it's not real. You know, it's okay. Don't feel bad. Like, we've all done it. Like, we've all fallen for it. And then the other 30% were like, you dumbass. Pretty much, something like that. Yeah. It was fun. Well, it was really fun.
How could you even botch the car that looks like that? It's obviously not Cuban. The craftsmanship of the label.
I'm not watching your podcast anymore.
There's no holograms on the label. That's how I knew it was fake.
Oh, man.
But yeah, so anyway. Okay, that's what we're smoking. I'm smoking. You okay?
Zach's dying.
I've had a
super gonorrhea.
Something like that.
think I've had a
something from Vegas.
Dude, PCA, man. Girl sits next to me. Next thing you know, I'm sick.
Crazy how that works. Every time a girl sits next to you, something bad happens.
It's true. That's true.
He did used to say at bars that he was allergic to talking to girls, so it makes sense.
That does make sense. Oh, man. By the way, if you guys want to get some merch, we got a lot of merch these days, especially this thing right here, this coffee cup. Go to cigarguys.shop, and you can get some merch there. You cannot find Yeti cups on there.
No, but Yeti, if you want to sponsor us, I got a Yeti. He's got a Yeti. I got a bag.
Mine's in my car.
Yeah, this is in the car. The one day he forgets it. Yeti, check us out. Love you guys. Love the new handle. 30-ounce handle.
Got a fanboy over here.
Dude, I got the cup. I got another cup without a handle. I got a 25-ounce cup with a handle. I got a bag.
Yeah, he's got
coolers.
Shirts.
I've actually used that cooler.
This is a true story.
Yeti condoms. They're pretty good.
Nice and insulated.
That's what protects you from the super gunner.
Nice, nice. All right, so what is new?
Well, I think we should start with the most popular, most mainstream, but also at the same time, most loved brand. Jared is especially going to be very excited about this if he turns his paper over. But as you said, Perfecto is the name of the game with Padron. It is their 60th anniversary. So they are releasing a 60th anniversary cigar, which is their first Perfecto size cigar. So it's not going to be a box press. It's going to be a traditional Perfecto size with a taper, 6.5 inches, 56 ring gauge is going to be the thickest point.
You know, I get it. A lot of people call it Perfecto, but I mean, that's a little big. You know what I mean? 6.5 inches.
I think it's
56 ring gauge.
Well, it's not about the length. The Perfecto is just the shape. It's the perfect shape.
I know, but I'm just saying the size, though. You know, I don't know.
It's a fair point. I get what you're saying. What would you say is a more perfect length, Zach?
A solid like 3 inches, I say. Yeah.
That would make sense. That would make sense.
Although it is not their first Perfecto.
That's
the 80th year.
That's a box press, though.
Oh,
this is this is their first true Perfecto.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know the price point on this?
It's a great question. I couldn't find it.
Interesting.
But they are not officially out for release until September. They debuted in PCA. I did not take down notes of the price, but I'm sure it's going to be...
You, our intern, made a huge mistake.
Thank you. I was going to take the fall, but...
If I had a guess...
You, Jack.
It's probably going to be around like... $40-ish.
Well, you got to think about it. The 50th anniversary was $50.
True, but so, the 80th is not $80.
But that's not the 80th anniversary. That's the number 80. Hmm. So it could be $60. If it's more than $60, I'd be upset.
I think it's going to be $56.
Because of the ring gauge?
Yeah, I think so. That's how I would charge for cigars.
Based on the ring gauge?
Yeah.
Okay.
Base of cigar, $50.
Not a bad price for the base of cigar, if I'm going to be honest with you. So, natural and Maduro wrapper on the cigar, as you know, as you would expect. Boxes of 10. So, they're basically basing the size off of a traditional Cuban Salamone. So, it's definitely going to be something completely different from what is expected of Padron. I know Jared's very, very excited for this cigar.
I just had to check this out. It could never be an 80th year because Padron was founded in 64, technically.
I just said that it was a number 80, not an 80th year.
No, what he just said, but it threw me off because I realized that Padron...
So this one website is estimating...
Did I not establish that? Go ahead.
Oh, never mind. This one website is saying it might be around like $32. I think it's going to be more, though.
Well, we'll see. Maybe it'll be around 40. Yeah, only time will tell. We'll find out in September at the very least when it goes out to retailers.
Well, if they want to send us one, of course, we can try it out, do a little review.
That is very true. I think...
I think since Jared smokes so many Padrones, he should not try it because, you know, he knows what Padrones are going to taste like.
Mm.
So we'll try it for him.
So send us 4, and then we'll cut one into thirds and share it. And then Jared can wait till September.
It's okay.
Send us four.
I'll live.
At least. Maybe like 660, you know, like 56. I don't know, like something like that. But yeah, so very exciting. What are your thoughts, Zach?
I think it's going to be a good cigar. I'm hoping it's not like a $50 stick. For 30, 40 bucks, you know, I'd try it out.
Yeah.
Especially for like 30, I think.
I mean, you're going to try it regardless.
I know. But like, if it's a $32 stick, I'm more likely to buy it more often, you know?
Yeah.
Have one too many drinks, I'm like, let me get it again.
Exactly.
But I think it's going to be a good stick.
Absolutely.
It's a good shape, so.
Mark.
I agree. Yeah, I think it's a good. I think I like that size. I like that shape. Padron makes great products, obviously.
Yeah,
I would say the only. I've liked every single one they've come out with. Maybe the PC 11 was a little off, but
that one was definitely off. Did you have that one?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't a fan. Well, I was asking because I didn't know he had it.
They still have it for sale.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's gonna be great. I've been looking forward to try something that's like new and different from Padron. Obviously, they're a brand that just, you know, keeps making the same stuff pretty much, which isn't a bad thing. It's a very consistent brand. But of course, it's always exciting to have like a new variation to the brand. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, the last one was the 60 ring gauge one.
Not including the PC-11, yeah. So
yeah.
That 4x60, I believe it was. That was interesting.
For me, it was a little too
big. Too big. Too thick. So, better on the length, as Zach would say, but just a little too girthy.
Facts. I actually usually stick around like 50, 52, maybe 54.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I like to stay around the 50 ring gauge, unless, you know, of course, I'm smoking a Lancero.
If it's a 54, the draw's got to be good. If it's too tight.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Next cigar we're going to talk about is the Oliva. They have unveiled a new Series V Milano. How do you say that?
Edición.
Edición Año?
There we go.
Año. Excuse me. Edición Año.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry. I didn't even read it, honestly. But so they do one of these every year pretty much now. I think the 2022, 2023. This one's going to be a 5.5x60 Vitola, as they say. I forgot. We got to speak like proper, you know, Vitola.
Vitola. Vitola. That sounds right.
That means size.
Ricotta.
So it's going to use the same components from the regular Vi Milano that we all know and love. The Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapper with a Nicaraguan binder and filler. This is going to be a limited production of 10,000 boxes, so not super limited. 10 cigars for the box. Let's see, 5,000 boxes are going to go to the international market. The 10,000 boxes are going to go to the U.S. market. Oliva V, as we say usually, probably arguably the best Oliva variant that they've made.
Yeah,
I agree.
I just had one on Sunday. I'll probably have one after this.
Yeah, am I super excited about new size? Not really though.
Honestly, it's perfect the way it is.
True. It is going to be around the, I believe, $18 to $20 price range,
so like if I'm not mistaken. Virtually the same price.
The main line's cheaper.
$17.50.
Is that really? Is it really?
I believe so. The one I smoked.
Back in the day, man.
I know. Miss the good old times.
Oh, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah. 20, around that time. Something like that. But yeah, so I mean, this is basically a different kind of variation of the Oliva V that we all know and love. gotta have something new for PCA.
Mike Tyson.
He was there.
It's the only reason we're talking about the cigar in the first place.
Because he was there?
No. Oh, yeah, because he was there.
You want to guess who's making it?
Yeah, I'll give you like 5 seconds to guess who made it. One, two...
Gurkha.
Wow. Shocking.
Yeah. So I'm being honest, you know, we love to hate Gurkha. We love to hate him. Just like assets. We love hating on him. Gurkha has a really good marketing department.
Yeah, for sure. Their branding is on point.
Their cigars suck.
They spend as much money as they do on marketing on the cigar itself.
Literally every cigar bar I've been to, they all have Gurkha merchandise that they got for free, and you know, their labels and stuff look cool. Their boxes are nice.
Yeah, this might be a hot take, but I actually think their bands are ugly.
Their main bands, like their main core
stuff. Yeah, I mean they're like what's the word? Detailed. I'm not thinking of detail. Yeah, though. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, they're extravagant.
Okay. Yeah.
Like,
for sure.
Like, you know, there's a lot going on, you know, so I kind of see, you know, especially with the Besa, right? We stuck with a simple band that still looks elegant. And
still very detailed.
And still very detailed.
Right. So I think not simple, but minimalistic is kind of like the word you're looking for.
Man, I think it's ugly, though. I don't like the logo at all.
No, I'm talking about Besa. But yeah, the Gurkha. I still thought that they were going to do a complete rebranding. Maybe this is the start of it.
It could be. I mean,
who knows?
Hmm.
I just wish a better cigar company got in contact with Mike Tyson beforehand.
Well, I'm not sure how much Mike Tyson knows about cigars. I'm sure he smokes them. I'm sure he's not like super into the industry as far as like his knowledge goes, which isn't a problem. But
yeah,
I'm sure that... he knows Gurkha's a reputable brand. Gurkha's basically worldwide known.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he was like, okay, this is a big brand, a big name brand. Let's do it.
Yeah. I guess for someone like him, it kind of makes sense.
He would probably smoke a Gurkha and like it.
Yeah. I mean, I'd imagine they probably approached him.
Yeah.
Just like, I feel like if Arnold Schwarzenegger came out with a cigar, he could do it with any brand he wanted and it would still be huge. For example, like he could probably do it with 1102 Cigars because, you know, he came here for the American dream. 1102 Cigars, you know, we started a cigar company all about the American dream.
Mm.
So it'd be a good collaboration on the Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, mob movies, Albanians, mob.
Yeah.
Hand in hand.
So it makes sense for Arnold Schwarzenegger if he wanted to make a cigar, if he'd come to a small company like us.
Well, you got to think about it too, you know, when it comes to boutique cigars, more passion goes into it, more... Exactly. You know, it's more refined. It's not a mainstream production. So there's more effort that goes into it, you know?
Yeah. So Arnold Schwarzenegger, if you're listening, you know, hit us up.
we'll get you in contact with 1102 Cigars.
It'll definitely beat the Gurkha. I'll tell you that right now.
But this, this Tyson 2.0 Undisputed is the cigar itself.
That'll probably be the second Gurkha I'll ever smoke.
It's well, yeah, and because too, it's at the $19 price range, so that's pretty good. 6x54, I think it's good bang for your buck. The Churchill is only 90 cents more. 7x60, that's actually a big cigar. So you're getting, I'd say it's good value. Assuming the cigar is gonna taste good, that'll be a good value. Sick.
It should come with a bite taken out of it.
Like the foot should be like bit. It should come. Like pre-bit.
Like cut. Like cut with like the W blades or whatever. Yeah, like, so it looks like a bite mark. A
V cut, but a curved V cut.
I don't know if he would like that.
You don't know if he would like that?
Yeah. Like, doesn't he not like that? Like the whole bit of ear thing?
I mean, he did it.
I mean, yeah, he did it. Yeah,
yeah, but like, I don't think he likes like talking about it too much.
I mean, you know.
If he comes on the podcast, we won't bring it up.
He felt bad about it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm sorry, Mark. I mean, I feel like I offended you.
I'm just a big Mike Tyson fan.
Oh, that's fine.
He, Mark's about to blow up right
now. Who do you got? Mike Tyson or Jake Paul?
Let's talk about that.
Honestly, have you read the contract?
That was fake. Came out that was fake.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Then no, I have not read the contract, Zach. Okay, cool. I think Mike Tyson's going to win.
I really hope he wins, man. He's old, though, you know?
Yeah, but he still trains.
Yeah, I mean, he's Mike Tyson, but he's old, you know? He's old.
So is Mayweather.
I think when you're that good
Mayweather's not that old.
When you're that good at something, especially...
Look it up. How old's Mike Tyson?
Especially when you're in the fighting realm. When you're like that good and you're at that level...
He's 57.
It's like riding a...
How old's Mayweather? He's 43, 44.
It's like riding a bike. That doesn't really leave you. I mean, he'd have to get like completely out of shape for him to be, you know, not able to perform at that level. But
44.
He's
47?
Yeah.
Okay, so 10 years.
It's a big difference.
Is it though?
Yeah,
for sure. I think once you get to that age, it definitely is. But I'm not disagreeing with you. He stayed in shape. He's been training relatively consistently. I'm sure he's training more now. I mean, I think that when you compare him to Jake Paul, the power behind him is something that...
Hope he bites his ear off.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, but...
Yeah, you never know. What are they doing? Are they boxing or... Yeah, right? They're boxing?
No, they're doing an MMA fight. Yeah, they're boxing.
I don't fucking know.
Is it a boxing? Yeah, but yeah, that's boxing. Yeah, of course.
Why would it not be boxing?
It's never know.
I mean, the other Paul fought Mayweather, right?
Yeah.
But they both get paid, so he'll take the loss. So I guarantee this is what's going to happen to Jake.
Yeah, I agree.
He'll just take the loss.
His first loss, though. That's pretty big.
Well, the thing is,
who he fought.
Second loss.
Who'd you lose to?
Was
it the last guy he did?
Yeah, no, I think it was last fight.
He just beat a guy. No, two fights ago. I can look it up right now.
I don't know. After like the third one, I kind of lost interest.
So this one's going to be on Netflix, though, for free.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering how much Netflix...
Oh, Tommy Fury. He lost Tommy Fury.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. I wonder how much Netflix is going to pay them. I mean, I would expect that they're expecting a lot more people to join Netflix just to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cheaper than pay-per-view.
Yeah, $20. Well, Mike Tyson's getting $20 million. Good amount of money.
You know what Jake's getting?
Nah, I didn't say.
All right, whatever. $20 million.
Let's assume. I guess plus they're getting paid by
sponsors and stuff.
Well, the sponsors and like the venue.
Yeah.
You know, like
oh yeah,
if it's like tickets. MGM, yeah.
So. Yeah, it's Tommy Fury. I feel like most people.
I feel like Jared is like the fact checker.
Most people think he's fought and like way older than him, right? Because he's only like 25, 26.
Yeah.
He's like, he's building up all his wins real fast.
But two, I think this is arguably Mike Tyson is just an insane level of fighting.
Plus, if this is like a pure exhibition match, it won't count toward his actual boxing record.
Yeah.
So we're talking about Jake Paul?
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. Well, I can't wait to see what happens. I think it's going to be
Cool. It's gonna be
entertaining. Fun.
Next thing we got is the Fuente Black Pink.
It's like a Sounds Black familiar. Panther sort of thing.
Yeah, I know. I think there's like a lion or a tiger on the front.
It's probably a panther. Is it pink?
Well, so it's made in continuation, you could say, of the rare pink that was made a long time ago.
Oh.
So they're kind of bringing it back under a new branding, I guess.
Is this a new color? Or,
I mean, it's still pink, but black pink.
Interesting.
Oh, it's like a tiger in the background.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The branding is very cool. It looks very nice.
So there's not a lot of information on it because this was teased at the PCA. It was kind of a last minute introduction. I think he showcased the box.
Yeah.
So there's not really many details on that yet. He says he's probably going to wait till next PCA to actually unveil it, get some things in order. So for all the Opus X fanboys out there, I'm sure they're throbbing at the mouth to get this.
Next one I'm kind of excited about, it's Davidoff Maduro. You know, I know I haven't really smoked Davidoffs in a little while.
As we get into this, you're going to lose excitement, but continue.
Oh, because of price?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it. Limited release Ecuadorian Maduro Mexican binder, which I'm kind of excited about that because I feel like I've been liking Mexican tobacco.
Okay.
Like the Casa 1910 is Mexican. Yeah. You know, I think that's been pretty good. And then Dominican fillers.
I will say this, Zach, and I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure this blend is very similar to another cigar that they already make.
What, the late hour? No wonder why I'm going to like it.
Hopefully it's like the late hour, but better.
So I always liked the late hour. Right. The problem I had with it was the construction.
Yeah, same.
You know, like, I guess like towards the middle to end of COVID, their construction went AWAR.
And like they raised the price by $8.
What is it, $28 right now?
Yeah, probably more. It's like pretty much 30.
Yeah, 30 bucks.
Churchill.
When I first started buying that, it was like 21, I think, 20.
Yeah, I was buying those left and right.
Yeah, the Robusto was like 17 bucks.
Yeah.
Which for Davidoff was great. And, you know, so it's for the short Corona, $43, Robusto, $50, and Toro, $54. This is, like Zach said, a limited release. So trying to ride the hype train. I mean, the Maduro back in the day, I actually never had a chance to try one because I came at the tail end of when they were running out. Missed that opportunity, but we'll see. I'm sure we'll try one, maybe.
Honestly, I feel like all these new cigars are coming out so expensive that I think in the next 2 years is going to be a drawback. Because I think people like Davidoff and all these brands making these really expensive cigars.
You're getting ahead of the conversation, but I like where your head's going. Oh, yeah. I like it. We're going to go more into detail on that. All absolutely.
Right. All right.
No, I appreciate that. We're gonna talk a little bit about where you think the industry is going to go in the next few years.
Mark, okay. I appreciate I like you.
No problem, man.
Hey. That's why we keep you on.
Yeah, I did that for you.
Hey, I appreciate that. Don't think it goes unnoticed.
hopefully I got a raise.
We're going to double your salary, Mark.
Sick.
Screw it. Triple it.
You know what? I'll sign off on that.
Sick. All right, cool.
So let me calculate how much I'm going to make now.
Don't tell the audience. Because it's rude to share your salary.
Yeah, it's rude, yeah.
$0 still? Does that math add up?
Wait, you don't pay anything to be on here? I have to pay to be on here.
Oh, you do? Okay, never mind. I'll keep my mouth shut.
Now we know why Alex wanted to hide salaries.
I'm paying to be on here, too. I'm not making any money from this. Oh, we're free.
All right, next we got Cohiba reveals a Lancero. Sounds kind of cool. Series M. I've never actually had the Series M, so I can't really comment on it.
But, as far as I know, I haven't seen a Lancero from the New World Cohiba line. Unless I missed something, but...
Did they have the purple band one as Lancero before?
Not the purple, no. That one's relatively new. That was their box press one.
Or maybe blue?
I don't think they had a Lancero for the blue. They did make a lot of sizes for that one, though. Maybe we just didn't get that over here on our end. But it's going to be essentially a Nicaraguan Corojo wrapper. I didn't find any more details on that, but that was kind of a quick glance for us.
Very cool. Next one, we got a local brand.
Quick shout out. I figured I'd throw this one in there.
Yep. Quick shout out to Hustlers. The Palestine reveals a Connecticut and a Corona Gorda known as Justice.
Named after his son.
It's his name is Justice?
I've been told. Yes.
Oh, very cool.
Jared and I smoked this cigar, and we actually smoked their, I believe, Toro or Robusto of the Connecticut a while back. I actually liked it. It's more of a medium plus Connecticut.
Yeah. So Connecticut's are good.
A little more exciting. You've had a Connecticut from them?
Yeah.
I think it's pretty good.
I had it when they first came out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they make good stuff. I mean, Pastani is... I actually really like this stuff, and I think it's reasonably priced. This one's going to be Corona Gorda, 5.5x46. Definitely check those guys out. They got great cigars.
Cool people.
They're doing a lot. I think we talked about this before. They're increasing their production quite a bit, so...
Okay. All right. Next up, we got Warped Island of the Crocodile,
Ecuador, now Habano.
If they did Island of the Alligator, this would be a huge hit in Florida. But they decided not to do that.
We're saving that for the collaboration with them.
I was gonna say we'll have a whole series called Everglades. It will just be based off animals.
One panther.
Dude, we have a bobcat. Alligator. We have a huge bobcat in our neighborhood now.
I know. I saw a video of it.
Sick. Yo, mom sent it to you? Yeah. It's crazy.
I want to pet that thing.
You got to find out where it sleeps at night and try to take a few photos of it.
My mom took a video.
I'm just going to start buying real cheap pork and putting it out.
I'm starting to realize Jared's brain recognition is a little delayed today. What's going on over there?
I'm just trying to consume these notes.
You can't eat paper, Jared. You can't eat paper.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of could.
Anyway, Warped. Island of the Crocodile. Ecuadorian Habano 2000.
Another Corona Gorda size. Interesting. Mm.
It is a popular size. I think it's been overlooked for a while, but from what I gathered at PCA, a lot of these brands are putting out the smaller sizes. Michael Herklotz from, what's that brand? Ferrotego. He's putting out a lot of extensions from their line that are the thinner ring gauges. As in his words, the true aficionados would appreciate this more. They don't sell as well as a Robusto or Toro, but the experience is much better, in our opinion. Continue, Jack.
Yeah, so it's going to be priced at $13. For the Gordo, and then they're also gonna have a Toro, which is 6x52. It's gonna be $14. And they're both gonna be packaged in 15-count boxes. Next cigar we got on the list is the El Septimo Culinary Arts Collection. So there's a lot of cigars here to go down.
And the reason I wanted to talk about this is because it's kind of a different approach from their main line. All their main stuff is of a much darker wrapper, and these cigars are almost like the Connecticut shade color.
And I will say the biggest difference is the price. I mean,
that's true. This is closer to their original art collection that they released. So we've got some different sizes. The 5x54 is $9. The 6x46 is $12. 6x52 is 15, and the 6x60 is 18. So we get a little break on the price there.
For our viewers, can you name them as you go down the list?
I guess so.
we have the El Sup-
I see what you did there. They're very ethnic names, should we say? Very.
I can't pronounce half.
The Rioja, the Negori, the Toscana. That's the
I heard that one before, yeah.
And the Bordeaux.
Bordeaux.
So boxes of 20. Reasonably priced for what we're used to. I'm interested to know the quality. Very interested to know the quality because we've talked about this before. I don't think that they're... Well, I don't think the flavor is all there.
Maybe the quality is the same. They just spent less money on the wrapper and the box.
I guarantee they spent the same amount of money making this one as they did making the $100 one.
Took the words out of my mouth.
Yeah, I can guarantee that.
It's all about marketing in this industry. For the most part. There are cigars that cost $50 to make, and they're sold for $100.
Saka.
Something like that. I don't know. It's 50. It's something crazy. It's like a crazy
unicorn.
Cost. Yeah,
yeah, the unicorn, I think, costs like 40-something.
It's something
it's almost 50 to make.
Why?
I don't know.
The leaves they use are part of it.
The shape
is a very, very hard shape to roll. Saka rolls them all himself too. Yeah. So
hey.
That's another reason why it's very limited.
I still never had this.
He
rolls all those cigars himself. Dang, he's being put to work.
I mean, his whole thing was like for the unicorn was to make like a really expensive cigar. What would it take to make a really expensive cigar? Not just, you know, slapping a band on it and saying it's expensive. Like, how expensive can I make this cigar for? You know?
Right.
That's wild. I really didn't know he made them. That's pretty cool. Now I kind of want to buy one.
Yeah, so really it's not just marketing that is the reason for the cost or for the retail price. It's the actual cost that goes into it is pretty insane.
Very cool.
Yeah, I mean, you got cigars like... Adabay Alfonso, the process is just very extensive, so that's why they charge more. Of course, marketing is part of it too, but I mean, what goes into producing the cigars is more than average, we could say.
Does Corona have them in stock?
Yeah,
they should.
Yeah, I think they do. Yeah,
I know a few places that do. So,
Jared wants one now.
Definitely gotta try it.
I know that they should have some. I know for a fact that Blend and Barrel in Sanford has the new ones that they released, the Sober Mesa, and I think they still have the Mi Quierda, the black label, too.
Yeah. You should probably get the black label one.
Those are $120, though.
Damn.
But I think overall prices went up anyway.
And I'll just have to smoke it, like, really slow.
Is that possible?
Yeah, I have to with this one.
I will say, I smoked with Jared the other day, and he was smoking slow.
What happened?
Why'd you tell him?
I finished a cigar before he did, which is...
He's embarrassed, dude. Why'd you say that?
God. You could have just said it was on purpose. We'll cut that out. So you're smoking slow, huh?
Not right now, but...
Obviously not right now.
Now, this one's a little drier, so I'm trying to take the time.
So you're saying that's slow for you?
Yeah.
Interesting. Another big celebration on the list. LFD. La Flor Dominicana.
30th anniversary.
Wow.
30 years.
A little older than me.
It's a box press cigar, 6.5 inches long, 58 ring gauge. So it's again with a higher ring gauge. I think we've been seeing a lot more higher ring gauges come out. And I don't know if it's because a lot more people actually smoke higher ring gauges, so they're kind of just trying to flood the market.
That's for sure what it is.
There is definitely a big market for the 60 ring gauge area.
I think it's for like casual smokers. They see a bigger cigar, they think they just naturally think it's better.
Well, that or maybe it's more with the money. Like, oh, you know, might as well get a bigger one.
Yeah, I guess more bang for your buck. But yeah, you're losing a lot of flavor like that.
True, but you know, what do they know?
Because there's more casual smokers than hardcore smokers.
For sure. I'd say we're in the middle. Middle leaning towards aficionado.
We're
aficionado, but not snob.
Yeah, we're like the people that like eat at McDonald's, but then we'll also like enjoy a nice steak dinner. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like some of us might get the fish fillet with extra tartar sauce.
Damn straight.
It's made with a Ecuadorian grown from Sumatra. That's the wrapper. The binder is from the Dominican town of Cotuí, something like that. So, darker cigar. It's a dark Ecuadorian wrapper.
Very cool.
So, something new from LFD.
La Aurora come out with something new.
So, Sancho Panza was bought, the New World Sancho Panza, another brand that Scandinavian Tobacco Group has acquired. Still waiting to hear back from you guys about sending us those cigars, but you know, I guess I'll reach out again. They reached out to us to send us some, but I don't know where that happened. I don't know what happened to that. But real quick, basically they went through a redesign once they acquired it, and Matt Booth was one of the guys responsible for that redesign. So they changed the label a little bit, got a bunch of new lines that they're pushing out. So there's a ton of stuff on that. You can go look it up. Go ahead, Zach or Mark.
Oh, Locke. Aurora came out of the Casa de Auroras.
Casa Doris.
Basically,
La Aurora is a pretty mid-tier to kind of expensive.
They have a couple expensive ones for sure.
This is going to be much more budget-friendly.
Yep.
Is that what you're going to say?
I just think that's exactly where the cigar industry is going to start heading pretty soon. But
as low as $4.50 per cigar. Which,
that is very too low.
That's really low. The Robusto is 5 inches, 50 ring gauge, $4.50. Then the Toro is going to be $4.75. Gordo 6x60, $6.50.
I'm sure it's going to be good too. I haven't tried it yet, but
yeah, it might be my new go to. I've been smoking the JFR a lot. So.
All right, let's finish off Crown Heads.
Okay.
And then we could get Mark talking.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Crown Heads.
You want to talk, Jared?
No, I'm just trying to read the notes here.
He doesn't have his reading glasses on.
He is colorblind, too, so I don't know about the contrast on the paper. he's used to reading code also, not English.
Yeah, true.
He's like, there's no colors on here.
There's no syntax highlighting. Does this compile?
That was the hardest part when I had to do an AP exam for computer science. I had to hand write code.
Yeah. Oh,
and it's really? Like, oh, yeah. I passed it. I don't know how. But, without having, like, the different colors for the different syntax and everything, it's difficult. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, real quick. Two different cigars from Crown Heads, same branding. So the Coroneta, two different cigars, two different factories. The Habano version is made in Nicaragua at the Naxa factory.
I thought that said NASCAR for a second.
NASCAR factory in Daytona Beach, Florida. And the Maduro is produced by the Carrillo family, Perez Carrillo family, at the Casa Carrillo factory in the Dominican Republic. So two different factories, two different countries. The Habano is going to be an Ecuadorian Habano wrapper, Nicaraguan binder, and Nicaraguan fillers grown in Esteli, Condega, and Jalapa. While the Maduro is going to be a dark Mexican San Andreas wrapper, Ecuadorian Connecticut binder, and the filler is going to be from the Dominican Republic, Nicaragua, and Pennsylvania. another trend we're seeing a lot is the use of Pennsylvania tobacco in the filler. 5x52 is going to be $12.95, very good price. And the Duke, which is the 5.5x54, will be $13.95. And the Baron, which is a 6x56, will be $14.95.
Very cool.
Retail price, of course. Check your local retailers for you know, the actual price.
Yep. Sorry, Canada.
Rip Canada.
It's going to be like $40.
So those are the, I think it's about 10 or 11 brands that we wanted to showcase. Things that we saw first, things that we were, you know, more excited about, things that we wanted to talk about. But we're going to get into some conversation that Mark's especially excited about, which is where we see the market going in the next few years, predictions that we have based red. On what we've been seeing.
Red.
Hopefully not red.
Market's going red.
Unless you're talking about...
buy low, sell high.
That's always good.
Mark is like the modern day Notre Dame when it comes to cigars. So we were to take some time to, you know, listen to Mark and feel it out. And
I just think these brands like Davidoff and these other like...
yeah.
Yeah.
Well-known brands.
Okay.
They're coming out with these cigars that are like pretty high in price.
Price, yeah. High.
And I think they're investing too much money in these high-priced cigars. Money.
One second. Can we stop?
Oh, sorry.
Thank you, sir.
I think they're investing like too much money into these high-priced cigars. I think within the next 2 years, they're just going to see their sales not increase the way they want it to increase, and they're going to go back to making cheaper cigars.
You got to think about it, too. It's a volume game at the end of the day. The biggest issue with this is volume.
Well, and I think what these big companies are doing right now, too, is like... they get paid when a retailer buys their cigars, right? So if I'm a cigar company that has bought in every Davidoff that you've gotten out, right? Let's just say, and then I release three more at a high, let's just say $60 a stick. Well, they're buying them for $30 a stick. So they're making more money off the bat. And they, at the end of the day, they don't care if they, you know, they sell a limited amount. But plus also it's Davidoff where, you know, oh, hey, we're coming out with the Maduro again. Limited release, limited release. And that's why they keep doing these limited releases at such a high price, you know, because they're doing 10,000 boxes, right?
But do the math.
Yeah, $30 a stick, however many, or how much money they're making.
Was that $300,000 for selling them all?
Yeah. And that's just off the rip. They're making it, you know, as soon as they're done, as soon as they release it, they make $300,000. And yeah, then sure. At the end of the day, you know, it's the cigar lounges that are stuck with... you know, all these high priced cigars and no one's buying. I mean, even restaurant, the liquor industry was like that for a little while. I mean, it kind of still is. We're like, if you want Buffalo Trace, you have to buy all of their products, you know, and they did that just so they could make more money. Mm-hmm. But then they wouldn't sell any of their other products.
That includes buying Fireball.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Fireball or whatever bottom shelf. You know, liquor they had. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then imagine having to get Blanton's.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I don't think it's going to last. I'm with Mark. I don't think it's going to last. I think this is just their money grab. You'll see a lot of smaller but like popular cigar brands sell out. And then that'll be the end of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But, and I think like limited releases like this isn't really like that big of a deal to me, right? Mm-hmm. Because like they're limited, like all right, the year of the whatever. Mm-hmm. That's very cool. It's unique. Yeah. So of course people are going to want to get that no matter the price.
I'll piggyback off that. I think that there's too many limited releases
exactly
that are coming out all the time. So the hype is dying down. Like for everything's sure. A limited release now. So it's like okay, whatever. Now it's basically just releasing a new size of your core line.
Base of cigar limited release. Make sure you go get it now before they sell out. Okay, right now, sold out.
Damn, that was quick.
And you always see it like one per customer, and then it'll be on the shelf for another month, and then it's like you buy however many you want,
And then that one guy buys 20.
Yeah, but well, yeah, just like the PC 11. I mean, that was one per customer because I thought it was going to sell out, and
true,
it's still on the shelf.
I mean, and they only made like 900 of those.
Yeah, they're still on the shelf.
Granted, it's less accessible.
True.
So, I mean, that's part of the reason. But yeah, you would think that with such a limited amount, they would go out like that because people would be going to like, you know, the website and buying them.
Because, so. I mean, let's face it. I mean, you smoke a cigar now, limited release. Sure, you'd never smoke it again, but are you going to remember what that cigar tasted like 3 years down the line?
No, I mean, I'm sure if it's really good, you'll remember the experience. I mean, there's cigars I smoked that I remember, and I'm like, I really loved it. I talk about it to this day.
Yeah, but how many limited releases are you going to remember?
No, you're exactly right. I don't, of course, remember all of them. But for an example, I mean, Zach and I were both buying these limited release Davidoffs, the Vault series, like every time they came out. And eventually it just got to the point where, number one, they weren't as high quality as they were. But then it was like every month was a new Vault release. So it was like, it was just getting old. What's the
point? Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So I think Davidoff, I can see their sales not increasing the way they wanted to.
Yeah. I think.
I also think their name is kind of running dry.
True. Yeah. I think, well, that's another company where, you know, if they put more money, take it from marketing and put it into their product, maybe it would be better.
Maybe.
I don't know. What do I know? But another thing with when it comes to these like one-offs and these collaborations, like the Mike Tyson, for example, that's becoming more popular too, doing these one-offs, these collaborations with celebrities and stuff. I don't know if there's that much hype behind it right now. But I think that might be a short-lived concept. I think we're going to see less of that in the coming years.
Yeah.
It might still get a few more, and then I think that's going to die down. Because, again, it's like there's so many different ones, you kind of lose sight of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and the Mike Tyson one is cool, but, like, you never really hear about him smoking cigars like that either.
True.
Yeah, that is odd.
I guess, like, you know, like you said, Arnold Schwarzenegger. If Arnold Schwarzenegger came out with like his own cigar, they could put that everywhere.
Yeah.
And everyone would be like, oh, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah.
Exactly. Or even Sylvester Stallone, like if he made a cigar.
Yeah.
And not even having like his own brand, he could just come out with a limited release like that. Those limited releases are cool. But I think if you're just doing like a Nicaragua or like a, you're just doing a Maduro limited release, it's almost like, what's the point? Yeah. That's the way I see it.
I think too, I mean, they're relying on their big fans. All these different companies, especially like Steve Sacca, they have huge fans that will buy pretty much anything that comes out. Actually, that's one I forgot to put on the list. He came out with a cool little sampler pack, including a Candela, which I thought was shocking.
Yeah, but, that's cool.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Mark, on your perception.
But only time will tell.
Only time will tell. We'll see what happens to the market. I mean, too, on top of that, a lot of new brands every year.
Yep.
Everyone's got a cigar now, including us. Look at us.
We're going to have to watch this episode 2 years from now to see, like, are your predictions correct?
I think it will be.
Marcadamas.
Well, we're already starting to see some brands do it. Like, for example, Septimo. I mean, they came out of the gate swinging with these heavy hitter cigars that are like $100, $80, $70. And I guarantee what happened was is that they weren't selling as much as they wanted to. So now they're coming out with these cheaper cigars.
Mm.
You know, we had Agonor Salif on here telling us that the JFR was our best-selling cigar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think a lot of these companies are going to start to realize that, you know, everyday smokers don't want to spend $40 on a cigar.
True. Oh, man. I know Zach's itching to get out of here. You feeling good?
Yeah.
Okay. Since running up. Uh-oh. Real quick, made a video on this, but I want to talk about it on the podcast in case you don't follow our TikTok. I'm going to put some pictures up here. Where are we at? 48? Okay. 48. We're going to talk about something I saw on Facebook that I shared with the group already. Someone posted a picture, insert picture here, of two Cuban Partagas cigars.
Yeah.
And the discussion was if these cigars were safe to smoke. And if you look at this picture, if you're not watching the video, go to YouTube or Spotify and look at the video. Go to, you know, this timestamp. And just look at this picture. I mean, this is absolutely covered in what arguably is mold.
Plume is mold, though. That's what people don't understand. Plume is mold.
Yeah.
But there's a difference. Like,
I mean,
right?
The plume you can wipe off, but this is just way too much.
Yeah, like blue cheese is molded cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. But if you see mold on top of your blue cheese, you can't eat it. You know what I mean?
Can you just cut it out, though?
I mean, you can, but like you shouldn't because you don't know. If it's growing there, you don't know where else it grew.
And that's the argument here is if you see any sign of mold in your cigar, should you smoke it?
Yeah, I think if it's a little white on the outside, yeah, wipe it off. You know, if it's on the foot, definitely don't smoke it. If it's that bad.
Yeah, if it's as bad as this picture, and some people said that, like, as long as it's on the foot, it doesn't matter. Well, if it's
as long as it's not on the foot.
Or, I'm sorry, yeah, if it's not on the foot, you could smoke it, whatever.
This is just
how
insane.
Bad this is like you don't know where else it got into the cigar. You know what I mean? Like it could be filled with mold.
Yeah.
It just didn't reach the foot.
Yeah.
And then you go start smoking it, and next thing you know, you're in the hospital because like you got some illness.
Yeah. And this guy said that his humidity was at 75%, which he believes was okay.
Yeah, a little too high.
I'm going to tell you right now, 75% is not ideal. I would say max 72. Preferably, I would say you want to go between 65 and 70%. Especially with Cubans, he was way too high. He's got to go 65 with Cuban cigars.
So what did you do with those cigars?
Me? I didn't do anything with the cigars because they're not my cigars.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say maybe hand them out to somebody.
I'm going to say it again. Jared is like slow on processing information today.
Yeah. I wonder if he smoked them, though.
So how much is that Davidoff Maduro?
That's funny. I went through the first couple comments I saw. One guy said 75% humidity is ideal, if I'm not mistaken. He is mistaken. How old are the cigars? Who knows? More than likely, that's plume. And that's back into the discussion of, oh, plume's okay. That's mold, guys. Plume, which is typically shown on aged cigars. Plume is not dangerous.
Which, you don't have to have plume on a cigar to make it age. You know?
No.
Most aged cigars don't have plume.
I've had cigars aged 15 years with not a hint of anything on the wrapper.
Yeah, and I've had cigars aged 15 weeks.
Nothing, you know? And again, next guy said, if it wasn't on the foot, let her rip, smoke them.
One might have been a joke, though.
All these comments, I don't know if they were serious or not, but these definitive statements are definitely not true. And if anything, they're a matter of opinion. I would argue that it's just fake news. So what do you guys think? Let us know in the comments. Vote on the poll. Would you smoke this or not?
I thought the guy was joking when he said 75%, so I just stopped reading after that.
I don't know. Sometimes it's hard to tell. Kind of like when I posted the obviously fake Cuban, and everyone got mad.
How is that fake Cuban?
Actually really good. I'm going to be honest with you. It's a really good Dominican cigar.
Very nice.
Really good copy.
I thought it was Cuban.
Oh, my God.
My bad, it's Cuban. But that's it for this episode. So I wanted to thank you guys for tuning in and getting the insight on what's new here in the cigar industry. Until then, see you next time.
See ya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Cigar Guys podcast. Make sure you subscribe and hit that notification bell so you can stay up to date with all the latest episodes. Looking for short form content? Check out all our social media accounts in the description below. And now, a final word from our sponsors.